Praise the Lord. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sunday morning? Amen. A lot of great things are taking place right now. Amen. We were supposed to have, the gang was supposed to be, stands for God's Anointed Now Generation. They went to the winter retreat there in New Mexico, and it was a real powerful, powerful time. And they're on the road right now. They were supposed to make it like at 10:15. They were supposed to be here to do all the praise and the worship and everything. And then at the ruin, they hit all kinds of fog where they had to slow down. So now they're going to be getting here at the end of the service. Amen. So, but we're going to celebrate all that took place at the winter retreat, amen, with the youth that went, amen. Next Sunday, we're going to have a big celebration, amen, and we're going to have them testify and what the Lord did within their lives and what the Lord spoke to them and so forth. So it's going to be a real powerful service for next Sunday. We're going to have the full praise and worship, amen. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I'm really, really happy. So let's just keep them in prayer. I believe they get in like almost like at 12 today, 11:30, 11:45. And I was going to make you guys wait. And I says, nah, they might get mad at me if I make them wait and start church at 12. I know there'll be at least two that'll be mad at me instantly. Amen. So anyhow, it brings me great honor to bring the gospel here this morning. Amen. I want to thank the leadership with all my heart. And even though some are gone right now, the church, everything's still running. Everything is still operating like it should be, because I'm real key to be looking real carefully right now and see how things are operating without some few key people here right now. And I just want to thank you, because I've seen everything's in operation as if everybody's here right now. So let's give the leadership of Victory Outreach Milwaukee a good clap offering here this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Things within the business are right around the corner from taking place right now. A lot of new things are going to take place. We got some great speakers coming. I know Pastor Chucky from South Africa is going to be coming and preaching. Amen. I know that in February also, that's in January, then in February, we're going to have the prayer summit. Is going to be taking place. We're going to be once again hosting the prayer summit, where all of the Great Lakes region, all the churches are going to come. Amen. So another big event taking place in February. So I would just ask that you all listen here this morning. I'm going to be preaching a very, very simple message that for some may not have to be known for you, but you might just have to be reminded of this message and how important it is for it to get to others. See, sometimes we're okay in Christ, but we know others that are not okay in Christ because they're outside of Christ. So I believe if you're doing good here this day, and we welcome those viewing online as well, amen, that this message, you really need to take heed to it and listen to it, because it's just not for you. It's for others also. And I believe we all know somebody that's lost and bound, all messed up right now, not just in need of help, but in need of a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ, amen. And we have Him within our lives, but too many times we don't share Him as we should. So this message is not just important for those that are troubled, that need to be born again, saved, but it's also for those that already have been saved for years, and the importance of them carrying the gospel of the good news of what the Lord has done at the cross, what the Father did on the third day of the resurrection, amen, that people need to hear what has taken place for them to be here with us. Amen? The title of the message here this day is Not Guilty. and preach a very simple message here this day. Not guilty. How many went to courts more than one time? Amen. And that every time, or guilty as charged, throw him into the slammer, throw her into the slammer. I was there 1,000 times in the county jail, and then I went 2 more times to prison, but that was 25 years ago. And little did I know, though I was guilty at all these courts, and I was not caught guilty of 1,000 million things, they only caught me for a few. But little did I know that I was not guilty, even when I was called guilty by the judge of the courtroom. I didn't know that I was not guilty. I was in my sin. I was going to court. The DA said I was guilty. Amen. The judge said I was guilty. My own mom and dad says, "You're guilty." I was guilty, but little did I know that a price had been paid in full that said I was not guilty. But because I didn't know of Christ, and nobody evangelized me, when I grew up in a Catholic church there in South Texas, all the years of going to the Catholic church, not once did somebody say, "Jesus loves you." It was all about the Virgin Mary, amen? But nobody was able to evangelize the name of Jesus, what the blood of Jesus had done at the cross of Calvary. And so as I continue to go on in life and make mistakes, I became guilty over and over and over. Even when I got away with it, I was guilty without Christ within my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this moment, Lord, within your temple, within your presence. I pray here this day for those that are still lost and bound. By the end of this service, that they would know that they are not guilty, Lord. By the end of this service, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior of their life. And I also pray for the believer, for the leader, for those that have already been saved, that we be reminded of the importance of sharing your word to allow people to know that they are not guilty. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Once again, the title of the message is Not Guilty. Not Guilty. I'm going to go to 3 verses here that I want to open up with here this morning. And the first one is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Reading out of the NLT here, this day translation. And verse 10 says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one. No one is righteous, not even one. We know that the Lord is the only one. Amen? Amen. This is the way the Lord views us. Not the way we view our life, but the way the Lord views us. Because it opens up saying, as the scriptures say, in other words, as the Lord sees it. So we can improvise there, as scriptures say, and change that to as the Lord says, as the Lord views your life in my life. The Bible goes on to say that the Lord says, no one is righteous, not even one. In the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible reads, but no, all have turned away. There's that word all again. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good. Not a single one. Amen. This is according to what Scripture says. To how the Lord views a man, a woman, a young adult outside of Christ. And then the third verse I want us to go to is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And because no one's good, amen, not one, Romans 6, 23 goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, outside of Christ, the wages, the penalty of us being guilty is death. But when we receive Christ within our life, the Bible says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So it's very important that we be saved. It's very important that those that are still lost and bound beyond the four walls of the church be saved. Amen? It's very important that we get to them. Because outside of Christ, the wages of their sin is death. I need everybody listening staying focused right now as the word is going forth. You're not good enough to be doing two thoughts at the same time. You're not that good. I put here in my notes, it's important to view our condition. It's important to view our condition the way the Lord views it. Not the way we view it, but we need to view our condition the way the Lord views it, the way the Lord sees it. Amen? We can't view our condition as character flaws. I just have some character flaws. We can't view our condition as unfortunate setbacks. It's just a setback I'm having in life right now. I'm going through something right now. But we need to view our condition in the way the Lord sees it as terminal. The wages of sin is death. And too many times we look at what we're going through as just a bad time within our life. You know, things ain't really going good right now. I've been thinking a certain way. I've been doing certain things that I shouldn't be doing. And we think it's okay the way we see it because we're still going to work. We're still paying the bills. We're still even coming to church. But what's taking place in our life is terminal. It's terminal. And too many times we view the little things we're doing wrong as character flaws. I'm just going through hard times right now. And we don't view it the way the Lord views it. And the Lord views sin, amen. He says, for the wages of sin is death. So those that are lost and bound beyond these four walls right now ain't just doing drugs, getting divorced, doing things they shouldn't be doing. It's not just because they were raised improperly, they have a lot of flaws within their lives. We can't view it like that. We need to view it the way God views it. And the way God views it says, if they don't get saved, the wages of their sin is death. There's two eternities, and they both go on forever. One is heaven and one is hell. And many don't like speaking about hell. That's a tough subject for the Christian to hear. More or less those that are lost and bound. It's a real tough, but it's written about more than anything in the Bible. It's written more than about heaven, the place called hell. And too many times we view sin too lightly, instead of viewing sin as terminal. How many know somebody has lost somebody due through sin? So it's very important for you and I here this day that we do our part in sharing the gospel. Amen. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I put here, us without Christ don't end well. Those that are lost and bound without Christ, it's not going to end well for them, according to what scriptures say. According to what scripture says. We need to view scripture the way God views scripture, not the way we view scripture. Even though we're not guilty and been bailed out. They don't bail people here. In California, there's bail bondsmen in every city in California. There's bail bondsmen. Amen. If your son or your daughter, you know, does a crime, gets locked up, they set a bail, sometimes at $2,000, sometimes $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, at $1 million. And if mom and dad got money, they can go to the bail bondsman and bail you out, pay the amount of money so that you can be free while you go through all your court settings. Amen? All the court hearings. They'll even take your house as collateral, rings, cars. And in California, a lot of parents get burned. A lot of people get burned. Because at the real end, when it's time for sentencing, the man or the woman that was bailed out skips town and they're gone. So the person that paid the money, the sum, to bail them out loses it. If they go through the courts and whether they're guilty or not guilty, the one that bails them out gets that money back, gets the house back, the car back, as they put in collateral. Amen. But if the person that's being sentenced does not show up at the end for the court date, the bailsman then takes all the money, the house, the car, whatever was put down in collateral, to bail him or her out of jail. Jesus, I know that takes place in California. Now, Jesus bailed us out also. Amen. He didn't pay a certain amount of money to bail us out. He didn't put heaven as a collateral or a few donkeys for your life as collateral to bail you out. But the Father bailed you and I out. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the Father put a plan together, seeing you and I in our sin, not being able to get out of our sin, not being able to pay the price to get out of our sin, not even money could get us out of our sin. Not even mom and dad could get us out of our sin. Not even our wife, no matter how pretty, or husband, how handsome, no one could get us out of the sin that we were in. No one could bail us out. For the wages of sin is death. But then the Father put a plan together that would use his Son to pay the price in full, to bail you and I out. And the way he did it, he bailed you and I out, amen, through the life of his Son, through the cross of Calvary. Oh, the cross, now we got a reef, amen. We usually have a cross up there. Now we're getting to the season of the birth of Christ. And right after Christmas, the cross goes back up as a remembrance. Today we took communion as a remembrance of what Christ did at the cross of Calvary for your life and my life, to bail us out of the sin through his life. He shed his precious blood for you and I would be able to be recipients of the free gift of God, of eternal life. How? Through his Son, Jesus. Let's give Jesus a good clap offering here this Sunday morning. It wasn't AA that got you here, that you got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You say, you know what? I'm going to go get saved today. I'm going to church. It was Jesus that has you here. It's Jesus that has you viewing right now online. There's an importance in knowing Christ, especially when we're not guilty. There's an importance in knowing Christ, especially even more when we are guilty. How many are guilty here this day according to what Scripture says? Raise your hand. If the pastor's raising his hand, you raise your hand. Amen? Nobody wanted to raise their hand. Steve, our electrician, didn't want to raise his hand. But he decided to raise it after all because the pastor was raising it. The Bible says we all fall short of his glory and his honor on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Opening Scripture says that there's not one that is good. As the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. That's outside of Christ. So it's very important that those that are not saved be saved. Amen? Amen? There's an importance in knowing Christ, especially when we're not guilty, and there's even a greater importance in getting to know Christ, especially when we're guilty, red-handed guilty. Guilty as charged. Picture, please. There's only one courtroom where your life and my life is not guilty. And that is the courtroom of the judge that is our Heavenly Father. That's the only courtroom we're all not guilty in. We're made righteous because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Because the Bible says not one of us, makes it real clear, Not guilty. Are you feeling not guilty yet, or you still feel guilty right now? Because sin will have you guilty in your gut. It will say, I've been messing up. I'm guilty. I've been messing up. I'm guilty. According to the law of the land, of the courtroom, of the judge of the land, you're guilty. But the Lord here this day says, according to the scriptures, if we receive Christ, that we're not guilty, not based on what we did, but that we're not guilty based on what Jesus did. And it's a free gift in receiving Christ, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. How many know some brothers, sisters, cousins out beyond these four walls that are guilty right now? They're guilty. You know they're guilty. They know they're guilty. And it's just a matter of time. But here this morning, we're getting a revelation, and based on what Jesus did, that we're not guilty. But we need to receive Him as Lord and Savior of our life. And our lives need to start getting better and better in the way that we carry ourselves, the way we speak, the way we walk, who we hang out with, who we should be hanging out with, who we shouldn't be hanging out with, should get better as time goes by. The way you speak, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The way you speak in Christ should always be getting better and better and better. The way you speak should always be growing and getting better. If you're still cussing 5, 10, 20 years later in your salvation, there is a problem taking place in your heart right now. If you think freely that cussing, it's okay, I don't do drugs, I still cuss. We got to go back to scriptures on how God views it. Not the way we view cussing, but the way God views it. And too many times, we can just continue to talk the same way throughout our salvation. I would really have to question if you are saved. I'm going to give you what you need to hear this morning, not what you want to hear. I'm going to give you in view of what the scriptures say. Not the way you feel about it. Because you'll look at cussing, it's just a little character flaw I got. I could be doing worse. And you justify why you're still cussing. When deep in your gut, you know it's not right. Deep in your gut, you're guilty. Too many still living a guilty life just because they don't know better. And that's why evangelism is very important. That's why us being a good representation of one being saved matters to those that are not saved. If they're looking at your life and you're still cussing and doing this and smoking and doing all these things, why are they going to listen to you? Why would they waste their time listening to you? When you're still doing everything you're telling them not to do. And the reason is because you view what you're doing a certain way, and then you view what they're doing a certain way. And we don't go to the opening scripture, please. The Bible says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. As the scriptures say, I would love to give a real lovey-dovey message that Jesus loves you. He don't care what you do. His grace covers it. I ain't preaching that message. I'll go back to Texas before I preach that message. Too many have started viewing and justifying the way they're living life. Amen. when it's not in the view as the scriptures say, as the Lord views it according to his word. But we want everybody to do what we say. We want everybody to follow our instructions. Too many still living a guilty life just because they don't know better. Some know better and still are living a guilty life by the choices they make. You know what scriptures say, but you don't follow what scriptures say, and you justify the things you do according to the what you say and the way you view it. When we got to go as the scriptures say. The word was God and God was the word. In Romans chapter 1, there's good news here, okay? I'm going to get nice now. There's good news here this day, amen? In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 7, and 17, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed." This is Paul speaking. He was a chief sinner. Amen? A Pharisee of Pharisees, a chief sinner. If there was anyone going the wrong way and really, really bad, it was Paul when he was still Saul. Amen? And Paul speaks, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile." In verse 17 of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. According to scriptures, not in our sight, the way we view our lives, but this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Give me the opening second scripture, not the first one, but the second one in Psalms. The Bible says, "But no, all have turned away and all have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one." Let's go back to verse 17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Too many trying to get right by getting another girl, another guy, another job, another car, another place to live at. There's only one way to get right in Jesus. And the Bible makes it very clear. There's only one way to be right in the sight, in the way God sees it. Not one of us is good. But the good news Paul was preaching was, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished, and this is how he does it. This is accomplished from start to finish. God just didn't just have a great plan of salvation for your life without figuring out how to finish it. But this good news Paul was preaching, amen, and how God makes us right in his sight, this is accomplished from start to finish. How? By faith. Here it goes again. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Because not one is righteous, but when we receive the Lord into our lives, amen, by faith, God's plan here on earth, God's plan, eternal plan for heaven, has a starting place and a finishing place, and the vehicle that he operates through is our faith in Jesus. This is the way that we are made right in His sight, as scriptures say. Not the way we view how the church should run, what the pastor should preach. But we need to take an inventory into our lives. What's taking place in our lives today? Is it going according to the way you see it, or how God sees it within your life? And it's important, because the Lord has a finishing place within your life and a finishing place. He wants to complete the good work that He has started within your life, and we got to do our part. Philippians 1:6, Paul again speaking. And this is Paul speaking with the good news, and he says, I am certain that God. This was something that Paul's about to say right now that he was certain of. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. How many can say that the Lord has started a good work within your life? How many are doing what you should be doing at this place in your walk with the Lord according to what scriptures say to allow Him to finish what He started in your life? Amen? Too many times we get off to a good start, but we finish poorly because we start going according to the way we view things instead of how God views it. There's a lot of guys I know that start a new job, and they're so happy because they got a new job, they're getting good money, and it starts off real good. And before you know it, they're not working there no more because this or that happened. They're not happy with the boss or one of the employees there, and they take off. It started really good, but they didn't have the substance within them to stay in the job, to allow the Lord to continue to finish the job in the process of Him finishing the work He started in your life. You go to a church, things don't go the way you want to go, and you leave. You leave. And you stop the Lord from wanting to finish what He has started. And many will tell me, well, Pastor, I can go get Jesus somewhere else. You sure can. You can go get Jesus anywhere. At the end of the service, you can go get Him in the boonies, in the wilderness, in the jungle. And just what He created, He's able to save life. But I believe too many times we're good starters, and we don't have that finishing, you know, oomph within our lives to stick it out. To stick it out. Paul was certain that God, who had began the good work within our lives, was able to continue His work and to bring it to a finished state. Paul was certain of it. If there was anybody that should have been stopped in their journey with the Lord, if there was anybody that should have been stopped, it was Paul. He suffered many things for following Christ. Shipwreck, left naked, hungry, whipped, stoned. Boy, I believe we would have been part of that church. We would have said, skip that. I'm leaving this church. I ain't getting whipped for nobody. I ain't getting stoned for nobody. But if there was anybody that should have been stopped from serving Christ, it was Paul. But he, the writer here in Philippians, was able to see everything he was going through. He was still able to see Jesus continually at work in his life when he knew he should have been knocked out. Somehow or another, Christ kept him in the race. When he knew this should have took him out, Christ kept him in the race. When he knew that should have took him out, and that should have took him out, and that should have took him out. If there was anybody that was certain that God that started the good work was able to finish it, it was Paul. If anybody should have walked out on Christ, should have been a quitter, it was Paul. He was physically beat down for doing what was right. But God's grace was sufficient for Paul to stick it out, to write about his encounters of not only the good times, but he was able to still preach the good news even under affliction, even under being beat down. He was still able to preach the good news of the gospel that was able to save the sinner. No matter where you started, no matter what you've done, if there's anybody should have been stopped, it was Paul. For everything that he went through, he was able to see Christ still at work in his life in his worst of times. I thank the Lord that whatever I go through, they're big, big things. For doing what's right. The things I go through, that when I'm going through them, I'm able to see Christ all in it. I'm able to see that this is part of the plan of Christ of teaching my life and teaching me to love people at another level than I was able to love last year, or the year before, or the year before. Everything I go through has purpose in it. And because everything I go through has purpose, that means Jesus is in everything that I go through. Not only the good times, but especially the hard times. We're living in a time right now, people, where we need to become finishers, allowing God to finish the good work that he has started within our lives. Because there's a lot of people out there that are guilty in their sins that are really not guilty. They're really not guilty. That's how precious, how powerful what Jesus did at the cross. To say that we are not guilty based on what the plan of the Father did through his Son. And that's why there is power in the precious blood of Jesus. That there is power in what Jesus did at the cross at the real end when it got tough. Not my will, but thy will be done. He still carried out the plan of the Father. For not only Paul to preach on the good news, but that I, one day, 2,000 years later, could preach about the good news of the gospel as well as Paul did. To preach the writings of Paul. To understand what Paul was writing. See, to get the understandings of the good news, you got to go through some bad news in your life. And many never get to the understanding according to what Scripture says. Because they don't want to go through bad times. Bad times are the best teachers in your life, in my life. You never get to understand Scripture because you never have what it takes to endure the hard times. So when you're not able to endure the hard times, you can't get the revelation of what Paul was trying to tell the sinner, the believer, when he was writing according to what scriptures say. People nowadays go through a hard time and they leave. Instead of allowing the hard time, allow them to stick it out. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is perseverance. Another fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. You can't get those fruits. You can't get them at Pick and Save in the fruit section. You can't buy those fruits. They're not for sale. The only way you can obtain the fruit of perseverance and long suffering is you got to be able to pass the test of the hard times. Too many telling people how to do it when they can't do it themselves. Too many telling people how to act when they're acting incorrectly themselves. And then they put the Jesus spin on it. Romans chapter 1 verse 14. Hard times is part of our walk. That's why Christ tells us that we need to pick up our cross, deny self, and follow him. There's some things that we got to die to that are not allowing us to go through the hard times. And the Bible reads, "For I have a great sense of obligation to people." Apostle Paul says he sensed a great obligation within his heart, a great obligation for people, a great obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world. To those that were civilized, to those that were in the jungle, he had a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world. He had a sense of obligation, even the Bible says, to the educated and the uneducated alike. There was an obligation, a sense within the life of Paul. He was highly educated, but he knew that the disciples Jesus picked were uneducated. And he was able to see God's grace and mercy according to what scripture says in using the disciples at the end where they would all become martyrs, minus John. So Paul was able to see that God can use not only the educated, but the uneducated. If you're uneducated, this is a good time to clap the Lord, give the Lord a good clap offering. Nobody wants to clap. Everybody's smart. Steve clapped there. I'm on Steve today, man. I'm on Steve. He can talk to me after the service, amen? Nobody wanted to clap as the uneducated. Everybody's smart. Everybody got it all together. Paul had an obligation. A sense, an obligation to people. That the plan of the Father was able not only to use the educated, but even the uneducated. That the plan of the Father was able to use the civilized and the uncivilized. No matter where you're from, no matter what background you have. And that's why our ministry right now is all around the world in over 36 countries right now. Paul was able to see the way God saw it according to Scripture. He knew that his life was able to help everybody that would believe in Jesus. That there was nobody being left out. That it was for everyone. both the civilized, the uncivilized, the educated, and the uneducated. Pastor's going to be real nice today. Wanted to give just a teaching here this day, amen, that we're not guilty, and that's a scripture truth, but we also got to go by what scripture says, that those that are still out there, that are not saved, they're guilty. And the wages of their sin is death. This is the obligation Paul had within his life that he sensed strongly that Jesus was able to set anybody free, that Jesus was able to use anybody. Paul sensed this strong obligation within his life. I sense this strong obligation within my life, that if God was able to change my life, He's able to change your life. If God was able to use my life, He's able to use your life. According to what Scripture says, the plan of the Father sent His one and begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross to bail you and I out, to say, not guilty. I was guilty in the courtroom 1,000 times over. But man, one day, the courtroom came to me in my cell doing time in prison. 1 year left to get out, and Jesus came to my life. Scripture says that we weren't looking for Him. He found us. He knew where I was at in that prison cell. He knew where I was at. And I gave my life to Him in a prison cell with no preaching taking place, no altar call, no church, in a 6x8 locked in where nobody could get to me but Jesus. And even though I was paying the penalty for my sins, for the things I did that were illegal, in the midst of doing my time, Jesus came in, set me free, and said, not guilty. I still had to do the remaining year in prison. It wasn't like they opened the door that day. I still had to do my time. We say in California, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Bunch of tough guys, tough girls, and they become snivelers at the end. That's why we got to think about the consequences and the wages of sin before we do them. You don't have to worry about prison or the county jail. I haven't gone back in 25 years. I still had to do the year, but even though the door was still locked, my life had been set free. I was no longer guilty. Even though I was still doing the time, my life had been set free according to what scriptures say. I gave my life to the Lord. I made big promises on the way out of prison, and I've kept them. The first time I went to prison, I made big promises on the way out also, and I didn't keep one of them because Christ was still not in my life. So because of that, I went back to prison. It was the second time when Jesus brought the courtroom to me that said I was not guilty. Even though I already had been sentenced and guilty as charged, according to what scriptures say, Jesus set me free. He's able to do it for anybody here this day listening to my voice. Anybody listening to my voice, they're online, for anybody. And today's a very good day to allow Jesus in for you no longer to be guilty, but not guilty. You've been bailed out. The price has been paid in full. We just got to follow, in view of what Scripture says, the plan of the Father here this day. And we need to also remember that there's others out there right now believing they're guilty because nobody has brought the good news of the gospel to them yet. Amen? As we stand on this beautiful day. Whatever the go ahead, Jay. Real 101 basic preaching for the one that needs to be saved here this day. But I believe it's a message also for the believer to be reminded in why Christ paid the price he did, and that we never forget about the lost and the bound. There's going to be streets going out today. That we never forget what the Lord has done. Not just for our life, but what he did for our lives, to use our lives and bringing salvation to others. How many can think of one person right now that you wish could be changed by the power of God? One person. I want you to think of that one person right now. Whoever that one person is right now, I want you to go beyond your struggles here this day, and I want you to think about that one person that needs to know that they're not guilty because of what Jesus did. Father, here this day, we lift up that one person unto you, Lord. According to your scriptures, your word, according to what Paul says, of the good news that he sensed within his life, the obligation of preaching, Lord Father God, knowing that if you did it for him, that you could do it for anybody. That there's no one so lost, so confused, that you can't come in through your plan of your son's precious blood and radically set free. I'm one of them, Lord. And there's many here this day that have been radically set free. There's many viewing online that have been radically set free, Lord Father God. And there's many more left in this city, Lord. The cry of the SOS, the salvation of souls going forth here this day. There's good news. They're not guilty. They need to be let known that they're not guilty, Lord. And I pray that you touch every believer here this day, every believer viewing online, that they would connect with somebody that needs you as Lord and Savior, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And right now, there might be a few here this day or a few viewing online. I'm going to say the sinner's prayer where you're able to receive the gift, the free gift of the Father in Christ Jesus by faith. All you have to do is repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Outside of you, I've learned today that the wages of sin is death. But I've also learned this day, Lord, that if I receive you as Lord and Savior, I'm not guilty. And that the good work you start today, your word also says that you will finish it. Enter my heart as Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. We're living in very critical times right now, people. You need to take your life more seriously if you're seriously thinking the person you're trying to help is going to change. Too many times we get stuck in the rut and we start doing certain things we shouldn't be doing. We just shouldn't be doing them. And we already know better. It's one thing to do things not knowing better, but to continue to do things knowing better, that's not good. I want to challenge you here this day. There's some things you got to let go of. Let go of them. Because there's a price that you're going to have to pay when the price has already been paid in full. Father, we thank you. We love you. And we all say in one accord, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. Invite somebody next week. Amen. We're going to have a powerful time. And the gang, God's Anointed Generation, is going to be sharing, testifying of everything that took place at the Winter Retreat 2022. Amen. God bless each and every one of y'all.